Lynx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Faster my good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Tuesday, the 5th of August. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, a leaked document has revealed Manx Care is planning possible cuts to elective surgery sessions. New government figures have contradicted claims made by the Enterprise Minister that hotels are full all season, and organisers of the Island Games are facing calls to reconsider hosting the event in the Faroe Islands. All those stories and more coming up. Drop me a line if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166 177, email to studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's head down to Siobhan Fletcher, who has the latest news headlines. Fastamai, Siobhan.
Fastamai. Manx Radio has seen a leaked letter warning of urgent new cutbacks to elective surgery at Manx Care due to deepening financial pressures. The document reveals plans to reduce weekly theatre sessions from 25 to 20 starting in November, unless further savings are found. Public Health is reminding the public to dispose of all syringes safely and responsibly after a 9-year-old girl was injured after stepping on a needle at Port Erin Beach. Beachbody's founder Bill Dale has called the incident a sad reality and says there's a lack of accountability when people litter on beaches.
Lack of accountability is the issue, but then it's a massive issue. How on earth do you prove who dropped, for instance, those two syringes on the beach in Port Erin?
There are plans to temporarily store turbine blades at the Summerland site in Douglas if plans for the island's first onshore wind farm are approved. A Freedom of Information request has revealed the site has been deemed suitable for blades to be delivered there using a flatbed transporter. And 13 landmarks on the Isle of Man are being considered for special protection. Proposal to register notices have been issued for sites including the Royal Chapel at St John's and several locations which are part of the Manx Heritage Railway network. Further afield, Benjamin Netanyahu is believed to be meeting his security cabinet today to discuss military plans for Gaza. Israeli media is reporting the Prime Minister is considering seizing the entire strip in a major expansion of the war with Hamas. But one of his predecessors says he needs to be stopped and only one man can do it.
President Trump is perhaps the only person that can force Netanyahu, that can order Netanyahu and tell him simply, enough is enough.
A damning report into the Titan submersible disaster has found the company that made the underwater vehicle had critically flawed safety procedures, and President Zelensky says he had a productive conversation with Donald Trump on ending the war in Ukraine. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Good reminder, thank you very much for that, Siobhan. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Sunny intervals this evening, but still with a risk of an odd shower, then dry with clear spells overnight, moderate or fresh westerly winds, overnight temperatures of 12 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance. A choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpet in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, Rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
The exclusive Kärcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Kärcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
4 minutes past five on Manx Radio's Update. Manx Care is facing renewed financial pressures, according to a leaked internal letter seen by Manx Radio. Siobhan Fletcher joins me now. Siobhan, what details does this document reveal?
Christian. Well, the letter was sent to the theatre user group and it's marked as urgent. It sets out that Manx Care faces what it calls a serious financial position, with a projected year-end overspend of £5,761,000. The document warns that unless urgent savings are found, there could be a reduction in the number of elective theatre sessions from 25 per week down to 20 starting in November this year.
OK, so what sort of measures are being considered to address the situation?
Well, the letter outlines several directives. These include an immediate reduction in elective activity within theatres, urgent prioritisation of savings, and bringing back clinical activity currently being delivered in the UK where appropriate. There's also contingency planning for further reductions if enough savings aren't found by the 1st of August. If those savings aren't identified, surgical leads will be required to prepare a new timetable for theatre sessions, with a potential loss of those five sessions per week.
And has Manx Care implemented similar cutbacks before?
Yes, so this isn't the first time elective surgery lists have been reduced. You might remember in September last year, Manx Care cut elective surgeries by 5.5 per week for 6 months, which was forecast to save about £220,000. By comparison, the current proposal to cut five sessions per week over 5 months, we've calculated that to save approximately £166,000.
And how has Manx Care responded to news of this leak?
Well, Manx Care has issued a statement stressing that there are no plans to reduce the number of patients undergoing surgery. They say the internal communication was meant to prompt renewed focus on cost saving after early warnings of that potential overspend within a specific division for the 2025-26 financial year. The organisation says it's always aimed to achieve savings without reducing the capacity of patient services, but acknowledges some initiatives have not been delivered as hoped, so urgent action is underway to find alternatives.
So when they talk about reducing elective activity, what exactly does that mean?
So Manx Care says this refers to the number of theatre sessions. That's typically a four-hour block rather than the number of patients treated. They're insisting there'll be no changes to elective theatre sessions before November this year, and any future changes will focus on improving efficiency, not reducing patient activity. In fact, they're highlighting examples like ophthalmology and urology, where operational improvements have more than doubled the number of patients treated in some cases. The health body is concluding by expressing regret that the internal email was shared outside its intended context and reiterate their commitment to delivering the highest standards of patient care whilst managing resources responsibly.
Siobhan Fletcher with that report. Thank you very much. And there's more details over at manxradio.com. Approaching 8 minutes past five, a tourist visiting the island says he was disturbed when his nine-year-old granddaughter needed precautionary medical treatment after stepping on a needle at Port Erin Beach. John Boyer, who was there with his family from the UK, says they also found another needle in the same place a few days later. They were thought to have been used for self-delivered treatments such as weight loss jabs or at-home blood tests. John has been speaking with Amy Griffiths.
She will require some further checks when she gets back home in a few months' time, which is we're playing down, as you would expect, because she's only nine. We're playing down, but it's just to check that there's nothing. Thankfully, from some of the more nasty type diseases you can get from stick injuries.
And you have spoken to Port Erin commissioners about this, haven't you? So what did they say to you?
They said it was a rarity that these things happen. But as I indicated earlier, I mean, this happened on the Sunday, and then we went to the beach on the Wednesday. And on the Wednesday, we found another needle. My granddaughter actually pointed it out. Now, it wasn't the same needle because we took the first one to Nobles to show the doctors. So I sort of get one, and I'm afraid with the society the way it is, there's a possibility you might find one of these things. But to find two on the same beach within a short period of time is a bit disturbing. And that's what I said to the commissioners. I'm aware that they do have cleaning equipment. I believe some of that cleaning equipment's not operational at the moment, which I do hope they get sorted quickly. Because it's the height of the season, I would presume, now for you guys. And it's it's important that when visitors come, they're not getting these things stuck in their feet. It's not the commissioner's fault, as I've said. It's the people who use the beach. And what the people who use and needs the beach, if they've got any medical type issues, they need to be thinking about how they dispose of this.
And that's John Boyer, a tourist visiting the island there. We have approached Port Erin commissioners for a response. So far, nothing back yet. But Bill Dale, who runs Beach Buddies, the beach cleaning charity, has told Manx Radio it's not an uncommon sight. His team once found more than 50 syringes in a plastic packet in a bin.
What on earth is going through somebody's head to think that that's okay? I don't get it. I'm sorry, I just don't get it. You know, the biggest problem with litter and things like this on beaches is the lack of accountability. Lack of accountability is the issue, but then it's a massive issue. How on earth do you prove who dropped, for instance, those two syringes on the beach in Port Erin? Very, very difficult.
The tourist whose granddaughter stepped on the needle said there needs to be better education. Is that something you agree with as well?
Education, without question, is one of the priorities of Beach Buddies and has been for a very long time and will continue to be as long as we ever exist. Because if you talk to young people and children in schools in particular, what amazingly is happening is that the children are going home and educating their parents. And we have a wonderful relationship with the schools. And on that basis, education, without question, is a major way to try and resolve this issue. And I'm hoping that when these young people grow up, and they are growing up in a society which, in the Isle of Man, is extraordinarily clean compared to anywhere else that you go.
Bill Dale from Beach Buddies. Well, since then, the Infrastructure Minister, Michelle Hayward, has commented on the incidents, calling for a public awareness campaign. Here she is, speaking on Man in Line this lunchtime.
Needles are quite prominent and becoming more commonly used, and it is I think we probably do need some sort of campaign about the responsible disposal. He is right that anyone who is using needles and has given a prescribed drug that requires the use of needles will be given a sharp spin. So I think we need to urge people to responsibly dispose of them. I'm a little concerned as to how needles that are being used for insulin injections or for weight loss injections are ending up on a beach, to be fair, because that would not be the place that you'd necessarily anticipate people were sitting there injecting themselves. But all responsible regular users of such medication should know how to dispose of it safely. And I'd urge them, if they don't have a sharp spin, to pop into any of the local pharmacies and to ask for one, and they can pick one up there.
Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward speaking there, and you can find more on that story over at manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
12 minutes past five here on Manx Radio's update. A government survey has revealed that hotel occupancy on the Isle of Man was noticeably down over summer 2024, despite previous claims in Tynwald that the island's hotels were full all season. Darren Timpson has been looking through the figures. Fast to my Darren. What can you tell us about them?
Well, the data comes from monthly occupancy surveys commissioned by the Department for Enterprise, and it paints a very different picture to the claim made by Enterprise Minister Tim Johnson in Tynwald back in June. Serviced accommodation, which includes hotels, guest houses, B&Bs and serviced apartments, saw a drop in occupancy during the core summer months. For example, in July, serviced occupancy was just 62% compared to 87% the year before.
So that is quite a difference. Was it just a one-off?
No, the trend continued across the season. August was down to 60% and September saw the lowest occupancy at 59%, a significant drop from 82% in the same month in 2023. The only month in 2024 where serviced occupancy exceeded 70% was May, at 78%, up on previous years. June, however, dropped slightly to 72%, again lower than in both 2022 and 2023.
And what about non-serviced accommodation, things like campsites and self-catering?
That sector actually held up better. Occupancy there remained relatively steady, around 81 to 82% in July and August, with a slight recovery to 74% in September. It's also worth noting these figures came with caveats. Participation in the service accommodation survey was limited. In some months, fewer than 10 providers submitted data. So while the trends are notable, they're not fully representative of the entire market.
Okay, and all of this follows the minister's earlier comments, is that right?
Yeah, precisely. The minister had claimed in the chamber that hotels were full all season and repeated that even after some MHKs questioned it. He later apologised, acknowledging the claim wasn't accurate.
Darren Timpson there, thank you very much. 14 minutes past five, students from Castle Rushen High School are calling for more research into other forms of renewable energy before government progresses with plans for an onshore wind farm. It was the subject of a debate at this year's Junior Timwald, which sees secondary school students discuss topics alongside MHKs and MLCs. Manx Radio's political correspondent Phil Gorn spoke with two students who took part, Camilla Perry and Luke McKeon.
I think the switch to sustainable energy is very important in the developing world. It's just as to whether we use wind energy or solar energy or water generated energy. That's just the question. And I think that we all agree with Brisha in that there should be more research into these areas before the wind turbines move forward in their sort of development.
John Wallenberg, chair of the Manx Utilities Authority, he seconded the motion and gave an impassioned speech as to why a wind farm was needed.
In terms of generating electricity, which is immune to these global political issues, wind is one of the best natural resources the Isle of Man has. This in turn could help us as an island to be more self-sufficient. Our average wind speeds very much support the consistent generation of power from wind turbines. Wind power also aligns best with when electricity is used on the Isle of Man. We use most of our power throughout the winter when wind speeds are at their highest, and of course the wind can blow right through the night when solar solutions cannot.
Were you not convinced by Mr. Wallenberg?
I think there's pros and cons in all aspects of the wind farms, and as a collective, we as a school know that there's often between CEOs and schools as ourselves, we know our environment, we know what we want. It all depends on what we see as a collective, and we just want the best for us. And the fact that he actively went against us as a school, as students, it was a bit disheartening.
An environmental group is urging organisers of the International Island Games to reconsider hosting the event in the Faroe Islands in 2027. Specifically, the group has raised concerns about the annual event held in the Faroes that they believe goes against the values that the Games aim to uphold. Our sports editor Rob Pritchard joins us now. First of all, can you just explain who the organisation is that's protesting against the event in 2027?
Yes, Fastamai Christian. So the group in question, which is supporting calls against the 2027 Games right now, is an environmental conservation society that goes by the name of Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. Well, since 1977, the society says its mission is to protect and conserve the world's ocean and marine wildlife. The organisation has raised concerns about an annual event in the Faroe Islands known as the Grindadrap, which it believes, in its words, is in sharp contrast to the values of unity, compassion and respect that the Island Games are meant to represent. The society has also clarified it's not leading this particular initiative, but hopes it will spark debate and reflection, in their words, on the subject.
So what is the Grindadrap?
So the Grindadrap is a centuries-old tradition which still takes place in the Faroe Islands, in which pilot whales are hunted and killed, and it is a tradition which is deeply embedded in Faroese culture. The main targets are long-finned pilot whales. Well, the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society is of the opinion that the practice is, in its words, brutal, and it's something the society says it's actively opposed since 1983. On the opposite side of that, it's previously been reported by the Pulitzer Centre in 2022 that the Grindadrap is seen by some as a tenet of Faroese culture, which rests upon the close relationship between the islands and the ocean, which can be seen as the primary source of food and income for the fishery-based economy there. Well, in that same report, the Pulitzer Centre says that the proponents of the hunt argue that the practice represents a sustainable alternative to carbon-intensive and industrial methods of food production and serves as a food source for those who live on the island. And indeed, furthermore, a poll by Faroese broadcaster Kringvarp Føroya in 2021 asserted that 83% of Faroe Islanders were in support of pilot whale hunting.
So we've heard the society's view on the matter. What have the organisers of the Island Games got to say about this?
So we have since approached the International Island Games Association and also the organisers of the Betri International Island Games 2027. In a statement, a spokesperson for the International Island Games Association said the following: "Whilst it recognises the strong feelings people have on this issue, the International Island Games Association was formed to foster and encourage friendship through sporting activities between diverse island communities and to provide opportunities for sportsmen and sportswomen to participate in international sport. Therefore, we do not become involved or interfere in politics. We respectfully suggest that people should approach the Faroese government with their concerns." Meanwhile, the organisers of the Betri International Island Games 2027 referred Manx Radio to the aforementioned statement there and said they would be making no further comment at this time. Manx Radio has also approached the government of the Faroe Islands for comment.
Rob Richard there, thank you very much, and you'll be back with sports a little bit later on. Let's take a look at the travel now.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, there's a few things to be aware of. We'll start in Douglas. 24-hour three-way lights at Port Jack for sewer work. Also in Douglas, the traffic light system at St Ninian's Crossroads is being replaced. So there are temporary lights on the, currently replacing the main lights, and all filter lanes are out of operation. Also in Douglas, temporary lights on Woodbourne Road, 24 hours a day at the Albany Road Junction for bus stop improvement works. In Peel, Portan Road, closing weekdays 9.30 till 3.30. That's for Cat's Eyes installation work, and the work is expected to take between 7 and 9 days. In Ramsey, temporary lights on Bowring Road, that's between Windsor Road and the Coburg Road, 24 hours a day, and also the Swing Bridge is closed to traffic. We'll take a look at the steam packet. Everything's looking good there, and over at Ronalds Way Met Office, all looking to time on my watch.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Almost 21 minutes past five, the chair of Castletown Commissioners says there's been a good response to the consultation into Market Square so far. Tony Brown says it's important that the square is properly managed, and allowing residents to have their say about the proposals can inform any future decisions.
Well, from our point of view, we've had a good response so far. We've had a number of inquiries. Quite a few people have taken the document out, so they can call in the town hall and pick one up. There's also been, we think, quite a good uptake on the website, so it's available for anybody interested on our website. And we've had a number of emails and letters back in, which will eventually go to the board when the consultation period closes, which is the 26th of August.
Why the commissioners have decided to do this?
Well, simple, to do it properly. We think it's very important the public are involved in such major decisions like this that affect our town. And this new board decided right from the beginning we wanted to do this properly, because the Market Square is so important to the town. It's the heart of the town, and it's important we get it properly managed, decide properly what we want to do. And we believe involving the public and let them have a say on what our proposals are is important. We have ideas. It doesn't mean we have the answers. That's two different things. And at the end of the day, we will have to make a decision. Some people will be happy with it, some will not. At the moment, we've just projected what we believe could work and how it could benefit the town. And now we're waiting to hear what the public say. And as I say, we've had some quite good feedback.
That's the chair of Castletown Commissioners, Tony Brown, speaking to local democracy reporter Emma Draper.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
An event organised to showcase the north of the island will take place next month. Nice Up North, set up by the Northern Health and Social Care Hub, will gather support people, charities and community groups. Speaking to Darren Timpson is the coordinator, Georgia Zapparoli, who explains why young and old people can benefit from it.
32% of our population are over the age of 65, and a lot of these people aren't online, or if they are online, it's in a limited way. And because most of the advertising of these things happen online, we need to make sure that we're actually reaching people that would benefit from the services. Within the north of the island, that 32% is somewhere in the region of 3,500 people who are retired or could be retired. And their contribution to the community is still enormous. These people look after grandchildren, they run all of the charity shops, they do an awful lot around and about the things that are available. And the problem is that if you do retire and then sit at home and just watch your TV, yes, have a break. However, that way lies madness. People end up very lonely, isolated, and those things themselves can cause mental health problems. They make it much more likely that you'll end up with dementia, and we'd like to avoid that if we at all can. We hear a lot that there's nothing to do on the island. However, there's an awful lot to do that, again, people aren't aware of because these are quieter groups that just get on with things. There are volunteering opportunities to go and work with the bird aid people up in the north on the Ayres. There's the Manx Wildlife Trust, where you can go and get involved with the replanting of the rainforest project for, as I'm sure, well, I say you might be aware, I wasn't aware, the island all used to be temperate rainforest, and the first initiative to restore these temperate rainforests in the world happened on the Isle of Man. It's happening in Glen Alden.
Georgia Zapparoli, the coordinator, speaking with Darren Timpson there. Well, now, Rob Pritchard is back in the studio with the latest sport. Fast to my Rob.
Fast to my Christian. First off tonight, FC Isle of Man has now confirmed its full list of fixtures for the 2025-26 season. Having previously announced its matches from late July to the end of August, the club has now revealed its plans for the remainder of the campaign from September this year to April 2026. Well, this month sees the island side host Glossop North End this Saturday before away trips to Earlham and Withenshaw on Tuesday the 12th of August and Monday the 25th of August respectively. To end August, the Ravens welcome Padiham to the Bowl on Saturday the 30th of August, with the reverse tie between those two sides being FC Isle of Man's last game of the season on Saturday the 18th of April next year. Meanwhile, FC Isle of Man does say the home fixture against Stockport Town on Boxing Day the 26th of December and away match against the same team on Monday the 6th of April 2026, which will be Easter Monday, they do remain subject to confirmation. Well, you can see the Manx club's full list of remaining fixtures for the 25-26 NWCFL Premier Division season at manxradio.com. Elsewhere in motorsport, it's been confirmed who'll be the first riders away in the Formula One race at this year's Classic TT. The three-lap race is hoping to be a throwback to the great races of the 1980s and 90s, according to organisers, and it's being described as one of the showpiece events of this year's meeting. Well, among the entries are a host of current TT competitors on a range of machinery, including Kawasaki ZXR750s, Ducati 916s and Suzuki XR69s. While leading the field away will be Manxman Nathan Harrison at number one, followed by Dominic Herbertson at number two, with last year's Classic Superbike MGP winner Mike Brown at number three. Elsewhere in the field, Michael Dunlop MBE is listed at number six, although his machinery is yet to be confirmed. Meanwhile, 2022 Classic Superbike MGP winner Rob Hodgson will start from number nine, 16-time TT winner Ian Hutchinson at number 12. While the 2025 Classic TT will run parallel to the 2025 Manx Grand Prix, both events taking place between the 17th to the 29th of August. And just finally, Malta and Gozo have been announced as the hosts for the Commonwealth Youth Games in 2027. Commonwealth Sport says the event in 2 years' time will take place across four main venue clusters across the two islands.
Good reminder, thank you very much, Rob. I just want to ask you a quick question. I've heard your commentary during FC Isle of Man games, and I'm not going to lie, how do you learn people's names so quickly? Because I've been to a few FC Isle of Man games. I don't know who anyone is, even though I've met some of the people.
I suppose it just builds over time, I guess.
It just builds over time. Okay, so you're not Rain Man. All right, well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Up next is Island Life with a look ahead to the Manx Grand Prix. After that is Chris Kinley's Greatest Hits, John Barker after that with a folk show. Then last but not least, Dave Moore with After Hours. I'll be back with you tomorrow. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.